I'm excited to announce our newest event, How to Speak Live. I reflect on my career, and one of the biggest turning points for me was when I focused on communication as a skill. Not only did it help me attract more clients and close business faster, but it really was an overall life skill that helped boost my confidence in a lot of arenas in my life. So on November 17th and 18th, I will host a two-day event here at my office with a professional speaking coach, and I'll be there live workshopping with you for you to level up your confidence and your ability to communicate clearly so that you can help clients understand what you're communicating to them so they take action faster. Don't miss this event. I'll see you there. Visit How to Speak Live to secure your seat now. Welcome to the Elite Advisor Podcast. I'm Sten Morgan. Today, we're going to hang out with Matt. Matt is a professional speaking coach, and he was an advisor before, but he found his passion in helping people learn how to communicate better. So now he specializes in helping financial advisors communicate better to grow their business, grow their confidence. I'm a huge fan of this topic. This is one main area of resistance we help advisors with is, are you a great communicator? So we're going to dive in with Matt. Looking forward to hanging out with Matt soon. We're actually going to partner with Matt to do a live speaking event. So if you need to level up in this area, come hang out with me and Matt. Well, let's dive into some practical skills on how you can level up your communication. Matt, welcome to the podcast, my friend. We met recently, but we definitely have a common story and passion for what communication can do for our business as an advisor. So thank you for being here, and I'm excited for everybody to hear your story.
I'm very much excited to be here, too. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Well, if you'd start by giving us the background, I've heard your story, but for everybody listening, you were a financial advisor. You had success as a financial advisor, but something at some point hit you and put you on a different path.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll walk you through it a little bit. When I was 21 years old, I was sitting in my college dorm room trying to figure out what my career was going to be. I was majoring in finance. I knew I liked people. And I looked at the word financial advisor and I was like, I think that brings the two together. And I just so happened, it was almost days after I had this thought that there were Merrill Lynch on-campus interviews. I walked in, somehow talked my way into it, and got placed on arguably the best team I could have ever been on my entire life. I have so much love for those people, so much love for this industry. They helped me become who I was, who I am today. But about 7 years into this, I'm having a lot of success on the team. I'm about to be groomed into a partner and really helping to take over the practice. And I find this push and this pull. I'd gotten my CFP. I put my nose down, learned everything that I possibly could. I learned every ounce about investing I thought I needed to. But once I had finished grinding, I realized that I just wasn't going home to learn more about what I was doing. And that felt like a ceiling to me, a ceiling that didn't quite feel right. And there was this struggle going on internally of, is this my career path? But I love so much about it. I love advising. I love the people. I love the relationships. And then someone asked me the question of, well, why aren't you charging people for the help you're already doing with communication? The underlying theme going on behind all of this was this idea that I had at 21, same time, that we are only seen as smart as how well we can communicate. And I used that realization to pour all this intention into this speaking craft. And I loved it. And I learned so much about it and I helped so many people through it, but I never saw it as something that I could bring to the world. That question sparked a huge realization, one that I haven't been able to let go of, but still underlying all of that was this love I have for the industry and the people. So I decided that I would turn what was my true rooted passion to help the people that I grew to know and love.
Hmm. Yeah, as I hear you unpack that, it brought up in me like some frustration I used to have in the business when I was young, not a great communicator. And I felt like I lean into like the knowledge side of our business. And I would observe advisors that I was like, they don't know what they're doing, but people want to be around them. Like they're inspiring people. They're getting prospects. Like, and I would call them like, you know, the charismatic rainmakers. And there was something in me that was like, man, I wish I had that because that's not natural for me. And so for everybody listening, I speak on stages now. I do a lot of things around communication, not because that's something I was born into or that I even enjoyed for most of my life, until I hit a point where I was like, I don't think I can run from this. Like, I feel like this has to almost be not just a side skill that I develop as necessary, but almost elevates itself above. If I'm the most technically sound advisor with all the best ideas, but nobody cares to listen to me, what have I accomplished? What if I'm a pretty knowledgeable advisor that's an amazing communicator, and then I also know that I can go get the facts from people that are really smart and don't want to communicate? Like, and so for me, it was this realization of like, I thought I was going to be this type of advisor, but then from live feedback, being in the business for a while, realizing like that could work, but I don't know if it's going to work as well as I want it to.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I mentioned, like I hinted on in that story is, yeah. The realization I had at 21 wasn't that far off. Yeah. Finance advice, but the two words, they're about equal in the statement. And the advice side of it, though, is really an even bigger part of it. Because at the end of the day, it goes for coaching, it goes for advising. The best coach isn't the best coach if they have no one to coach. Mm-hmm. The best advisor isn't the best advisor if they have no one listening to their advice. And what's underneath that is relationships. What's underneath relationships is communication. Mm-hmm. And I think what we'll end up speaking a little bit on, and definitely there's a lot of room to speak on, is the depth that word really means. It's not just having the technical knowledge, but it's how you transmit it. It's being clear across generations. It's how you show up in a way that's different for the next gen. It's different for the retiree in how you present yourself. There's so much nuance to communication, but ultimately it all comes back to this idea that advising is really relationships and helping people understand that you're on their team. Communication behind that.
I've come to believe like communication, it's difficult to improve it at the rate I wanted to in a vacuum, meaning if I'm not welcoming feedback or watching myself, you know, whether it's recording myself, asking peers, just meeting with clients, most clients are not brave enough to say like, hey, you made me feel uncomfortable, you know, or this meeting wasn't that enjoyable. That while what I was doing was kind of working because it was kind of on par with everybody else. And I look back and I'm frustrated that on day one, this industry did not say, hey, by the way, you need to be an amazing communicator. Yeah. I don't even think that was ever brought up until I was like, wait, I'm scrambling out here to try to be successful. And I'm realizing there are plenty of people that need what I have. So if anybody's watching that you're like, Sin, maybe there's just not enough clients, it's like, that's not the case. Like the data is out there. Like a lot of people are unserved. And there are a lot of advisors making a lot of money, but there's also, you know, 9 out of 10 that don't make it past 5 years. Like it's a bloodbath in our business for some reason.
Yeah.
And the epiphany for me was like, it's not that there's not enough people. It's not that the advice and the ideas don't exist that I can get to easily. It's for some reason I can't get my ideas to the people in a way where they're willing to take action as quick as I want them to. And I'm like, oh wait, that's communication skills. that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah. Yeah. And having worked at Merrill, it was really interesting. So having been intern to associate to actually managing relationships, you gain a lot of perspective and you also see a lot of people filter through. And I went the slow route intentionally. Because I had been the intern, I had seen people who had been successful going through their track, and it was rarely the people that just got through on it. Doesn't mean that they can't, and by all means, those are the people that I ended up seeing that truly ended up being successful, but they were such a small percentage. Mm-hmm. Because you get thrown in with so much to handle. It's understanding markets, it's understanding how to give advice, and it's understanding what to communicate, how to communicate it. And I think that I think there's a lack of understanding and how to groom people to actually succeed in those roles. And I do think that there's intention being put into it, but what you're hinting at, I think, is the part that is missing. And it's missing from so many places. I don't want to get parabolic, but I wish I could have had this training when I was in school. Okay. I wish I could have had this training in so many different areas. And there were bits and pieces of it, but a lot of it was me driven. It was a subtle piece of me that saw this as being important from a young age that allowed me to take those opportunities. But it was rarely that someone was guiding me to say, hey, this isn't some soft skill, it's a life skill.
Yes. No, I love, yeah, when you've said that to me the first time, the life skill side, I reflect and I was like, man, this has helped me with leaders, mentors that I'm around, with friends, with family. And it is one of those avenues I found, kind of like with the emotional work and emotional intelligence work I've tried to do in my life, that like once you get down a path, you kind of, your eyes are open to like how far most people are behind.
Yeah.
And not that they don't have it, it's just they haven't done the work, so they don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And when you start communicating better and you see the response you get from people, it truly for me is one of those things, like once you start going down the path, like you're kind of changed, like you'll never go back. And every step you take, you're like, I can't believe I used to hang out back there. And then it just kind of opens up the next level and the next door for you on like truly what this can look like.
Yeah. And you just hit on something that I actually wanted to pull earlier. So I'm now excited to talk about it, which is you mentioned how as a new advisor, it's hard to walk into these meetings and really be able to reflect after the fact on what happened, what didn't go well. But the more that you place your awareness, your intention into your ability to communicate, the more you're actually able to coach yourself after these moments to get better. It's like there's a certain level of baseline knowledge that you need to accumulate where you can then start coaching yourself. And that's an exponent in and of itself. I genuinely feel like there's this, I can reflect even on meetings that I had back when I was at Merrill on what I didn't understand of what broke down, but I can see it now just because I've gone through that practice so many times. So it's something that you put your intention into, but it really does build that awareness around it. And then that's when you can start really coaching yourself.
I started getting the best results when I started focusing more. Instead of trying to solve multiple problems at once, I started focusing my time, energy, and money on solving my biggest area of resistance first, so then I can move on to the next one. Are you aware of the biggest area of resistance in your practice? I built an assessment to help you identify that area so that you can focus all of your time, energy, and money on solving it as quickly as possible. Visit gobeelite.com to take the assessment now.
It was encouraging for me is I think communication early on, I look back to when I was in college, I think probably before college, I didn't even think about the way I spoke. You know, it was like, I just spoke my way through life based on the way I learned how to do it. And every once in a while it would not go well. Very rarely did it probably go amazing, but it just worked enough. And so it was probably college when I was forced into some communication interactions where I was like, well, I have to prep for this. And then eventually heard about things like story brand, where I was like, wow, there's frameworks to this, that it's not this nuanced thing that kind of works for some people and kind of works for others. No, there's like some foundational truths that we can like practice and learn. How do you in our business deal with objections? Well, you know, what we talk about at EAN is like always respond in the affirmative. Oh, no, I'm glad you have another advisor. Oh, I'm glad you think your CPA is doing that, but have you thought about this? I'm like, that little breakthrough of like every objection is just an opportunity to be like, no, I'm glad you see it that way, was huge for me. And so I think one of the reasons we're together going to partner up on a communication event for November, and we'll get information to everybody listening for that event, is a 2-day intensive, like come learn how to speak well, how to communicate, to pull people in, you know, that's part of prospecting. And then when you have their attention, to create urgency, which for me, I look back when I was a young advisor, I'm like, man, when I would have somebody in the underwriting process for 6 months and then they wouldn't take action, or I'd have somebody talk to me about their investments for 3 or 4 months, but never actually pull the trigger. I was like, how much time was wasted? And I spent a lot of time being frustrated with them until I finally said, like, I think that's probably a me problem. Like the fact that they're not urgently taking action means somehow I missed in creating that urgency when I communicated it. What are you seeing with advisors? Because now you focus, you've said, I've done it. I get it. I've lived your guys' life. And there's such a need for this. And you were the only person I have found that says, I focus on communication for financial advisors in this space, which I was so thankful for. But what are you seeing now? Like, you're in this space. Is it as bad as I think it is? I mean, because it does not feel good. But what are you learning?
What I've learned is their baseline, there's a level of understanding. I think when you talk to advisors, and backtrack a little bit, when I talk to advisors and tell them what they do, there are so many that look me straight in the eyes and say, I can't believe more people aren't doing what you're doing. Because yes, there is this understanding that there are these gaps. There's these gaps, and that's where I teach from. We'll talk about those in a little bit. But I also think that a lot of people understand that it's a huge part of what we do. Or, well, I guess I can't say we anymore, but what you do. But the challenge becomes, I see a lot of awareness and I don't see as much response. Awareness is one of the most powerful things that we can have, but it's tricky. We make 35,000 decisions in a day. And when we don't know what to do, when we see something go wrong, and we don't have an idea on how to tackle it, it can be difficult to incorporate that into our next step of our decision making. So a lot of advisors know that this is something to work on. But what they don't know is, what are some quick and easy ways that I can immediately start building this awareness and having a response to it? And that's where I teach from. And what it's all boiled down to for me is advisors, communicators, I would think of these as the elite C's, elite three C's of confident communicators. Confidence: are we actually able to show up in these moments with our own, like how we communicate to ourselves? That in and of itself is underlying with this opportunity mindset that you said. And ultimately, it's turning it from walking into meetings and just going through the motions to actually learning. Then, are we clear? Probably the thing that I see happen the most, the challenge I saw most when I was in advising, and the one that people come to me the most on, is how can I be clear in what I'm saying? And it's nuanced, because clarity isn't just having the perfect response. It's having a response. It's having an idea. It's having a point in mind, and then being able to adjust it to who you're speaking to. I hear so much in the advisory community about connecting with the next generation, but what I see is a lot of challenge in trying to communicate with them, not just with them, but to them, you know, the channels and everything like that, like they're our 60-year-old retired client. And finally, it's connection. And connection and clarity can come together in a similar way, but it's, am I walking into this meeting truly showing that I care about them? Am I asking the right questions? Am I mirroring their emotions? And it's these three that everyone has different skills within, but I see there being challenges. And ultimately, those challenges stand in the way of trust.
Those are great. Yeah, I resonate with those for sure. I feel, and this is just part of my story, when you mentioned awareness, most successful people I know and the people I enjoy being around the most seem to be the most aware. And there's like an element of humility with that. When I hang out with advisors, most of us are competitive. You know, I think by nature, a lot of us want to defend first, you know, if we're questioned or, but man, I feel with the thousands of advisors I've interacted with, and if you're listening right now and you're trying to self-evaluate, like if I 1 to 10 myself on communication, 1 being I avoid it, I run from it, to 10, I'm a master on stage. And I bet if people say they're a 7, they're really a 3. And I think some of that is like, you either don't understand the spectrum of communication skills, meaning like you think you're a 7, but you're really a 3 because you just don't realize what a 10 looks like. But I think for everybody listening, this was a breakthrough for me when I was willing to accept like where I truly laid on that spectrum. And so there was some humility in that and saying, okay, well, what I'm doing is kind of working, but man, there's so much opportunity here. I'm not going to shame myself, but it has been the catalyst for most of my career success. I think my awareness of my inability to communicate came first. My awareness of the potential impact of leaning into this skill came much later. And I still to this day, I'm like, wow, it's helping me there. It's helping me there. It's helping me there. It helped me close a big financial plan this morning with somebody who was running a business, and she got really upset in the meeting. And to your point of connection and mirroring, I was just like, business sucks sometimes. And I at times feel like this is the greatest thing I've ever been called to like, wow, this is annoying. I should probably close this down tomorrow. And I was like, and sometimes I feel that in the same day. And she laughed, you know, and so it was like, I couldn't have done that 5 years ago. You know, I would have just tried to go to problem solving mode based on my discomfort of that moment. So it is hard. I'm sure you run into this where it's like, you almost want to like grab somebody and shake them to help them understand. And part of us doing that event together is like, we want to open people's eyes to like, no, this could be one of the best investments you ever make in your life is in this skill set.
100%. 100%. And I think the benefit that any of your listeners have is you're not listening from this mindset, which is occasionally, very occasionally, I'll come across people and we'll get into this topic of communication because what I do is a little bit unique and it just naturally sparks a conversation. And maybe we'll ask, oh, what are you working on in your communication? They're like, nothing. And maybe they don't say it directly, but they're like, nothing, I'm great. And if you can't look at yourself from the lens of understanding that there's room for improvement, then there's not. It's very much having the awareness and understanding we can improve. I have a coach myself. It's an ongoing process. It's so nuanced because life always hands us a different challenge that we're not always ready for. But having skills in place and the awareness to understand that we're not perfect is essential for our own personal growth and our growth within this business too. Now, if you don't mind, I want to just quickly, though, allow listeners an opportunity on, well, what can you actually do right now to begin building this awareness? And pretty simple. There's two contexts I want to paint, which is how do we build awareness after a meeting? And how do we build awareness before a meeting? We'll go after first. I'm going to provide you with three stupid, simple questions. But if you ask yourself them after any meeting, you will actually begin this process of truly embodying an opportunity mindset and always be learning. What went well? What was challenging? What would I do differently? They're not some complex mix of questions, but the fact is you're actually taking the opportunity to ask yourself in retrospect, what could I have done differently? Even from the best opportunities I've ever walked into, the best moments, the best interviews I've ever done, I've always been able to find something. And it's having that in your arsenal is huge to being able to then improve. Now, what do you do before? Especially if you're going to come to the workshop, I mean, anyone can do this. We've got this beautiful thing called AI. Go in there and ask it. You can either get very specific and ask it to give you 10 advisor prompts, or just 10 random prompts. Either of them has their own place, but you need 10 questions. Grab your phone and record and just go. Don't stop. Don't pause for perfection. Just go. You don't want to be perfect. And then sit back and watch it. Then after the first time you watched it, turn the sound off. Watch it again. Next time, close your eyes. Watch it again. What you're doing is you're seeing the full range of your communication and seeing, well, okay, where am I not perfect? Maybe it's the responses themselves, or maybe it's something that you're doing that's distracting. And once you have that awareness, you might see a lot, but just pick one. Pick one thing to work on. Trust me, that's all you need to do.
That's great.
So awareness is huge, but sometimes you just need to know what to do with it. And that's just a simple process that you can immediately begin improving.
Yeah, I know for me, it is weird that the disconnect between how you think you come across and how you come across, I remember almost feeling like comical,
yeah,
to record, to then when I watched it, it felt like I just had a little bit of energy.
Yeah.
And I was like, it felt like I was going way over the top, but then I watched it and I was like, that felt right.
Yeah.
And then it just took reps to do it.
Yeah.
When you think through the well, challenging, different, I'm trying to, on the behalf of our listeners, think through. I know a lot of advisors use filler words.
Yeah.
And some of the times for me, that meant I need to be okay with silence, like pausing before I speak versus filling. What would you say to that specific one? Because I think a lot of people struggle with that.
I feel really lucky because I think I have a good response to this one. When I told you that I spent my entire time in wealth management focusing on communication, it was in the arena of Toastmasters. And we've talked about it, you know what it is, but for any listeners that might not, it's a public speaking organization, great place. I learned so much from those people. And we had this member, I'm going to shout him out, Eric Rocha. He was a CFO and just powerful communicator. He had this soft, deliberate manner to himself. And he one day stood up and he had the role of awe counter, basically the person that counts your uhs and ahs. And he said a quote I've never been able to forget. Filler words are a missed opportunity to pause. Pretty much what you just said right there.
That's good.
What does that mean? It means that a pause is incredibly impactful. It actually allows the room to breathe. It might even allow the clients a chance to think about what you're saying. But also underneath it is it reminds you something that I think I really want to hint on is when you use fillers, when you keep going, you don't have allow these opportunities to pause. You don't allow an opportunity to listen. And what I saw myself do a ton heading into these meetings is making a lot of assumptions. Assumptions about the type of conversations we were walking into. I thought it was a practical conversation, meaning that they wanted advice. When in reality, they just needed an emotional conversation. They wanted to vent. Basically, when you don't have that opportunity to pause, when you don't listen, when you don't ask questions, you don't allow clients the chance to really tell you what is on their mind. So to reduce those fillers, recognize that a pause is arguably the most important sound in our communication. And beneath that, especially for advisors in these long-term relationships, questions, listen. That's the biggest thing I can give from that.
Love that. All right, we're going to stop dropping mics right now because we're going to hold some back for our live event. I love this topic because of how far I feel like it's impacted my life and where I came from avoiding this. I built my college curriculum to avoid public speaking opportunities. I am so excited when I see people lean into this and what it's done in my life. So I'm glad we were able to connect. Looking forward to hanging out and running our event in November. And then, if you are listening right now and you are avoiding speaking, if you are feeling resistance in your body right now to this topic, please take that as a sign of there's an opportunity to level up here.
Absolutely. Beautiful.
Thanks, man. We'll talk soon.
Talk soon. Cheers.